Acres teaches students about screenwriting and making movies, he's definitely adding a real-world perspective to the material. His script for Ernest Rides Again became the fifth in the beloved series of Ernest movies starring the late Jim Varney. Will also wrote The Wolves of Willoughby Chase, which was nominated for a Cable Ace Award for Excellence in Cable Programming. A lifetime member of the Writers Guild, currently Will is writing a script for producers in Los Angeles about the true story of the British police officer who went to Norway to recover Edward Munch's stolen painting, The Scream. Will is a senior lecturer in theater at Vanderbilt. He's also the author of the book with the memorable title, Your Screenplay Sucks. Will, welcome to interview.
Thank you.
Did you grow up knowing that you wanted to be a screenwriter, or was this an interest that came over time?
I originally wanted to be a cartoonist because I had always drawn, and I wanted to do story strips, but they went away. There are no more story strips in the paper, and I realized if I wanted to do something like that, I'd have to change. And so I was at Vanderbilt. I went to Vanderbilt. In my junior year, I took a filmmaking class, and I realized that a comic strip is just like a movie in that it's a frame, and the frames move. And so I shifted my allegiance from the comics to the movies, and I got started writing that way.
What class was that?
Bob Baldwin's 170 Intro to Theater, Intro Filmmaking, which is what I teach now. And I used to teach it in the same room that I took it in.
So what is the reaction to your book, Your Screenplay Sucks? Do you have some people that are almost offended by it and think you're being too critical?
Well, it's a very difficult business. The book's really funny. I mean, the title is sort of off-putting, sort of, but it's better to find out now that your screenplay is no good than after you send it in to a producer or an agent, because you never find out why they didn't like it. You just know that they don't want it, and they never tell you anything bad. And you have to make it be unbelievably good in order for them to even finish reading it. And so, no, everybody seems to like the book a lot. I get great fan mail, which is very rewarding.
When did you write it?
A year or two ago. It just came out in August.
And when did you come to Vanderbilt to start teaching?
I've been here about 13 years, maybe a little bit more.
So you kind of have two things going on. You're teaching, and then you're also actively writing screenplays,
mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah, it's great fun to be able to do both. And teaching is I teach screenwriting, and I'm a much better writer now because I've been a teacher. And the book wouldn't exist if I hadn't have been a teacher, because I realized that most of my students were making the same mistakes over and over. And then screenplays that I critique for people, I see that they make the same mistakes. And so I came up with the idea to have a checklist. And the book is really a checklist of do these things to your script before you send it out, because any of these mistakes could cause someone to stop reading your screenplay. And if you take 6 months to write a script and someone reads 9 pages and puts it down, you've wasted 6 months of your life, unless you just had a great time writing it. But that's generally not the goal.
Do you suggest that each person who wants to write a screenplay take some kind of course ahead to learn the mechanics of it?
It's a very complex medium. There are a lot of moving parts. Any kind of writing is difficult and complicated, but a screenplay has got a lot of minefields that you don't know about when you just get started, and television is the same. I don't know how anyone would do it without having someone teach them how. If you're really, really smart and unbelievably talented, you can pick it up just by reading screenplays and watching movies. But I had teachers that taught me, and I think it's a pretty useful part of the process. You can teach people to be better writers. I don't think you can make somebody be a great writer, but you can certainly help them improve.
So what stands out in your mind as some of the most frequent mistakes that these aspiring screenwriters and the beginners in the trade, you know, do?
One thing that a lot of writers do is they put too much backstory in the first act, which means they tell us all the back information about who these people are and how they got here. And a rule of thumb in writing is just when you've got a screenplay, tear out the first 20 pages and then start. That's generally, it takes you 20 pages to kind of get your wheels spinning, and then all of a sudden they dig in and you go. But the problem is if you leave all that material in, like who the guy is and how he got here and why he has this problem, they've stopped reading because it's boring. And so putting the backstory in the first act is a problem. Oddly enough, and people find this unbelievable, but people who read scripts for a living will tell you that it's true. Many beginning writers have character names that rhyme or begin with the same letter, and it because the people who are reading the script are reading it so fast, if the character names rhyme like Jimmy and Timmy in the same scene, it's going to be confusing. And if you confuse them too much, they're going to stop reading. And a third thing that people, beginning writers, do because they misjudge the level of competition, they think they can just sort of slap something out in 6 weeks or a month or 2 weeks or an hour and then have – and they think it'll be great. So you have to be incredibly professional and turn out a product that's stellar. And a lot of people don't take the time to really, really make it sing. I heard a writer say one time, if you don't take the time to get it right, why should I take the time to read it?
When you talk about not putting too much information in, so then are you leaving it to the director and the actors to kind of glean that information from what they read? I mean, or else how will they know that background?
Well, the you put the backstory in the middle of the movie. The classic thing is you don't show the man wake up in the morning, shave, pack his suitcase, drive to the train station, buy the ticket, get on the train, and then you see he's got a bomb in the suitcase. You show the guy get on the train and see he's got a bomb in the suitcase. And then later on you find out that his wife left him and he got fired from his job. But you don't do all that stuff. You just start with action. As far as the director and the actors, you in a screenplay are writing something that you want to sell. You're not really writing a blueprint for a movie. You're writing it's a sales piece, and you want someone to get excited by it and buy it and then make the movie. And so you're not telling the actors what to do necessarily. You give them what they physically do, like she picks up the telephone and you tell her what she's going to say. But a lot of that that comes afterwards is the director's job. You don't say the camera dollies into a close-up on the fire hydrant. You don't say that kind of thing because that's not your job. Your job is to figure out what the characters do and how the story moves and what they say, and then you leave it at that because other people will come in who are specialists like wardrobe and production design, and they take care of those details after someone has bought your script.
Does the screenwriter usually hang around when a movie or TV show is being made?
Now, it's different on a television show than it is on a feature film. I know the writer for Clint Eastwood's last movie, I can't remember the name of the one that had the name of the car. It's escaped me for the
Torino.
Gran Torino. Guy was on the set one day. The three movies that I've had made, one of them I never visited the set. The Ernest movie, I never visited the set. And the one that was The Wolves of Willoughby Chase was filmed in Czechoslovakia. I just wanted to go see it get made, and I went as a tourist and was there for a week, and everyone was pleasant, but they kind of pat you on the head, and there's no reason for you to be there. Because if there is a reason for you to be on the set, it's because the script's in trouble. And hopefully by the time they roll camera on the first day, you've solved all the script problems and they can just make the movie from the script, so they don't need you there. In television, the writers are generally the producers and they're there making the television show. The producer-writer is a much more important job on a television show than the director, which is the opposite in a movie.
So that's something we don't realize when we see a screenwriter for a film getting, say, an Academy Award, he or she did not necessarily spend that time while the movie was being made there.
Some do, some don't. It depends on the director. I've got a director attached to one of my scripts, and he said, you know, if they ever make it, you're welcome to come. You can hang out all day, every day. He's not threatened by having the writer there. It all depends on the situation.
How do you come up with your ideas for material? Do you ever base it on your own life, or is it somebody you know?
It depends. I've done it every single possible way. I've had people hire me to write scripts for magazine articles. The one I'm doing right now is based on a book and the life story of a British policeman. I've made up stuff just out of my own life. I wrote a screenplay about myself and my first girlfriend. I've written things because I read magazine articles and I thought, oh, that's interesting. The ideas come from everywhere. The hard part is not having the idea. The hard part is deciding which idea is going to make a good story. And you can have 100 ideas, but if you pick the wrong one to write the story about and you finish writing it and no one's interested in what it was, then you made a mistake. And that's the hardest part, is picking which idea is the one you want to devote your time to.
Can you give us any sense of how many people there are that might be willing to take your screenplay to evaluate it or, you know, possibly do it?
As far as my screenplays or a student script, or I don't understand what you mean.
Well, in other words, if I was going to write a screenplay and mm-hmm. nobody knows me as a screenwriter, how many people could I come up with to even look at it, to think about doing it?
It's all about who you know. And you contests are a great way. I mean, the man that wrote Finding Forrester was almost 50 years old and had never done anything in the business and lived in Portland, Oregon. And he won a contest, and that movie got made, and now he has a writing career. And he knew no one. So contests are a great way to do it. If you have a cousin who knows a gaffer, who knows someone, who knows someone, they can hand it to somebody. The great thing about a great script is that people recognize good material and they want to help it find a life. So if you write something that's really good and can get it to anybody who knows somebody who knows somebody, it'll keep moving forward. But it's difficult to write a good piece of material, and it's very difficult to find someone to give it to who will read it, because no one understands the level of volume of material that comes flowing through the door every day. Which is why I go back to the thing I said earlier about being professional. They have so much material to contend with. If yours is not in the top 1% of the top 1%, they haven't got time to read it. And so it's got to be really, really good. And it is possible to do that. I've got a student right now, a former student, who works for a television series on NBC. So it's not out of the question. You can go out there and you can find a way to make a living, but you have to stick with it, and you have to be devoted, and you have to be professional.
I think you mentioned in your book that there was some place you went to where they just had – it was like up to the ceiling with scripts.
Every place you go to, more or less. I was in one particular office, and there were two assistants' desks in the office where I was waiting. And above their heads were U-shaped shelves, and there were two or three shelves. And I sat there because the producer was late starting the meeting, and I sat there and counted the screenplays. And there are around 1,500 scripts waiting to be read, or they had been read, or they were in the process of being considered or something. They all had agents. So the competition's fairly fierce. But then the competition's fierce at any job, anywhere, anything you do. It's difficult to be successful. So screenwriting's not that much harder than anything else in some ways.
Do you need to get an agent?
Yes, that's sort of the catch-22. You can't get an agent until you've got a job, but you can't get a job without an agent. I've found if I've sold a screenplay on my own, it's pretty easy to get an agent because you say, hey, how would you like 10% to negotiate this deal you didn't have to do any work to get? That said, getting an agent is one of the most difficult things in the world because they're extraordinarily picky about who they want to represent. Producers won't read scripts unless they're sent in by agents 99% of the time, because if the writer has an agent, the producer knows the writer's not going to sue them. And the people in Los Angeles are very concerned about getting sued, and there are a lot of nutty people out there. And so they'd rather not read a script that might be great that's sent in by someone over the transom than run the risk of getting sued.
Do you send out your script to several people at once if you're able to, or do you need to send it to just one person and have them say yay or nay?
You can send it out to 20 people all at once and hope they all say yes, but really what you're hoping is just one of them says yes.
Well, what happens if more than one says yes?
It never happens. Okay. Well, it rarely happens. You get in, you know, what everyone hopes will happen is a bidding war, and they'll, you know, someone will offer a little bit more for your script than the other guy, and then you go there. It's pretty rare. I mean, if you get one buyer, that's the one you need to go with. And I tell my students that if Julia Roberts says she loves your script and can't wait to be in it, but a guy that you went to college with wants to make your movie for $15,000 and has the $15,000, let him make your movie, because that's going to happen. Julia Roberts may never be in your movie, but if you've got a sure thing for small money, take it, because then you get something done. The only two ways that you know if someone liked your material is if they gave you a check for it, that means they liked it, or if they give your material to someone else. Like if you read my script and you say, my cousin is Tom Hanks, let me give this to him, that means you really liked it.
What are some of your favorite all-time scripts?
I really like Lawrence of Arabia. I think that's an amazing story. That guy also wrote The Bridge on the River Kwai. I think the best American screenplay is To Kill a Mockingbird. And it's an amazing adaptation. If you analyze the way Horton Foote did it, you think you're seeing the book when you watch the movie, when you're only seeing like half the book. And he jumps all over that book, back and forth and back and forth, connecting little pieces here and there to make his scenes. It's an amazing piece of work, and he won an Academy Award for it. There's so many good scripts. I really like Michael Clayton that came out in the last year or two. That was very good. I thought that Nightmare Before Christmas was an amazing script. I mean, there are a lot of really good movies out there. People complain about them, but I don't quite see why, because there's a lot of great things being done. Right now, I want to go see Gomorrah.
When you're looking at a script, though, and when you've watched the movie and say this is a great one, I mean, what are some of the typical things that you would say makes that great?
Emotion. If it makes you feel an emotion.
Something you can relate to, I guess. Sometimes.
Just something make you feel something. Mm-hmm. You walk out of the theater moved in some way by horror, if it's like Saw 9, or if you're crying or whatever it is. If it makes you feel something, then it succeeded. And that all – it begins with the screenplay. It doesn't end with the screenplay, but you can't make a good movie from a bad script. You've got to have a good story, and then everything else flows from there. But you've got to have a good director, and you've got to have good actors, and you've got to have a good editor. It's a very complicated process to get you out of the theater at the end having felt something.
So many times the critics will say, this actor did such a great job, but it was a horrible script. I guess that actor probably should have maybe read the script and thought a little bit more whether he or she wanted to commit.
Well, not that many people these days have heard of Andrew McCarthy. But everybody's heard of Johnny Depp. Andrew McCarthy was a star starting off when Johnny Depp was starting off, but he didn't pick the like three or four bad scripts in a row he chose to be in, and it ended his career. I could be wrong. Certainly I'm right when I say Johnny Depp has never been in a movie that wasn't interesting. He may not have been in a movie that wasn't bad, but I don't think so. I mean, that guy reads his own material. He chooses what he's going to be in. He has immaculate taste. As an actor, if you don't choose well, you'll end your career. John Goodman is almost always in really good movies. I don't know whether he reads his stuff himself or he's got great advisors, but he is in interesting movies. And you live and die by your choice of material if you're an actor.
Certainly, as someone like Tom Hanks, I'm sure now that you know there's people just pouring in the scripts for him to look at because of the fact that he's won Academy Awards. And
when you're at that level, you only read screenplays that already are ready to go. He doesn't read screenplays. Johnny Depp doesn't read a screenplay unless they've already made him an offer. We'll pay you $19 million to be in this movie. We've got our money. We are ready to shoot in 6 weeks. Would you like to read it and see if you want to be in it? Then that's when they get around to reading material. They're not reading material that's written by a beginning writer, and they hope that Tom Hanks or someone will attach themselves to it so then they can go out and raise the money saying so-and-so wants to be in my movie. Now, a second-tier or third-tier actor will do that because they're not getting so many offers. They might want to find a way to attach themselves to a really interesting piece of material that a studio's passed over, like The Door in the Floor or In the Bedroom. Those are both small movies that really interesting actors chose to be in because they're not offered that kind of acting material every day.
So what do you tell your students that want to get into this business? I mean, I'm sure one of the things is you've got to really throw yourself into it.
Well, I tell them they all have to buy my book. Everyone should buy my book. If you're writing a novel, if you're writing a short story, because the book's all about storytelling, and it's about the middle of the book is all about how to write a coherent sentence, which lawyers need and bankers need and everybody needs because all you ever do in your life is write. But I tell my students it's very difficult. If the students are really good, I try to encourage them and say, you know, you could do this for a living if you want to, but don't do it because I think you could. Do it because you got to. Because you have to be happy as a writer or any kind of artist. You have to be happy when you're a failure. Because if you're not happy when you're a failure and you think that getting a check for something is going to make you happy, you're sadly misinformed. And so you need to be really enjoying it every day, all day when you're doing it. And it isn't selling. You have to like the process. You have to enjoy sitting down and writing something. That has to give you pleasure because the only way you're going to get pleasure is because your movies get made or hanging out on the set with Julia Roberts, which is not certainly something I've ever done. You've got to figure out a way to like it when you're not making money at it. And that's very difficult to do.
And tell us a little bit about your current project, The Scream.
The book and the movie are called The Rescue Artist, and it's about a true story about a British policeman who went to Norway and recovered Edvard Munch's stolen painting, The Scream. And they came to me and asked me if I would write it, and I've turned in the first draft to the producers, and we're about to start writing the second draft, and who knows if they'll ever make the movie. My involvement may end at the end of the second draft, or they may keep me on for 4 more years, and they may make the movie. Who knows? I had a good time writing the first draft, and I had a blast talking on the phone to the policeman, and that was great fun. He's in London and is a very interesting character. So again, you have to find the pleasure in whatever part of the process you're involved in at that moment.
And the classes you teach at Vanderbilt are?
I teach a beginning screenwriting class, an advanced screenwriting class, where in that entire 2-semester process you write a screenplay, a complete 110-page screenplay. I teach an intro to filmmaking class and an advanced filmmaking class, and then I also teach a film class called Advanced Production Workshop, where I write and direct a short and the students crew on it, and we have a professional cinematographer and location sound recordist on the set all the time. And then we get really, really good actors to be in it, and the films are always pretty interesting, and the students get as high a level of professional experience as is possible to get at Vanderbilt. And a lot of them, those students end up going and doing internships through the Vandy and Hollywood program in the summers between semesters at Vanderbilt.
And when they do internships, what are those like?
It's been very successful. We're in the third year of the Vandy and Hollywood program. Chad Gervich, who's a Vanderbilt alum and was in the first class I ever taught, which is a screenwriting class, he runs that program. He comes to Nashville and interviews students, and he places them in jobs with Hollywood companies. And they go out there and work for a summer and find out, one, they find out about the entertainment business, but two, they get a, you know, they have a job, and they find out that work's difficult. And you got to show up on time, and they want you to be professional, and you find out what's expected of you in a work situation. Working in Hollywood is not like working anyplace else. People think they don't work very hard, and all they actually do is work.
Yeah, you envision people like going out for long lunches.
Very long, drunken lunches, and then you go lie by the pool the rest of the afternoon, and that's not the way it works. I have a former student who graduated, I think, a year ago, and she went to work on the TV show ER, and she, right after she graduated from college, but she found out that, you know, you show up on the, you get up in the morning at 5 o'clock, you're at work at 6:30, you work until 8 or 9, you come home and watch old DVDs of ER. All of a sudden, you go to bed, and that was 6 days a week. So it's a lot of work.
We've been speaking with Will Akers, who's a senior lecturer in theater at Vanderbilt. He's the author of the book, Your Screenplay Sucks. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
For Interview, I'm Emory Dear Owens.